The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to another live edition of Wrestling with Jonas, part of the Jonas Podcasting Network. And this is a very special episode for me, episode 199, just one away from the magical 200 figure. But for a special, an extra special episode, I need an extra special guest. And I've got one with me today, all the way from Ontario, Canada, Amy Crimson. Amy, how are you doing? And thank you for coming on the show.
What's up, Crimson Squad? I'm doing awesome. Woo! It's nice outside. It's warm. We're finally out of COVID procedures. We can finally live our lives. I'm good.
Yeah, and like I say, I mean, there's a lot of pandemic restrictions that have been eased over here in the UK as well. So life is getting a little bit back to normal, and I'm attending my first wrestling show in over a year and a half this coming weekend. So that'll be good fun. Amy, it's fantastic to have you on the Wrestling with Jonas podcast. And I want to encourage anybody that's watching at home, whether you're watching this live on Facebook Live, on Twitch, on YouTube, get in touch, send us your questions, send us your comments. You can ask Amy Crimson any questions during this live broadcast. And we'll do our very best to answer them questions during the course of this show. But Amy, first of all, I know that you're very much into your sports, very much into your fitness. Have you had the opportunity to catch any of the Olympics yet? And if so, what's catching your eye from the Olympics so far?
I haven't looked at the Olympics. I know it's bad.
Okay. No, that's not bad at all. The athletic starts next week, so that's kind of where everybody tunes in, to be honest with you, for the athletic.
I was watching the Euros. So like the Euros,
poor England. We nearly got it. Nearly brought it home. like I say, it's wonderful to have you on the podcast. And I have to ask you, I mean, we mentioned that life is slowly getting back to normal over here in the UK, and restrictions are being lifted kind of in certain parts of the world. But what's the current state of play over there in Ontario and in Canada in general? And especially regarding the wrestling scene, have shows started up again? If so, is it with fans, without fans? Give us a bit of a glimpse into what's going on currently over there in Canada.
Currently in Canada, like a couple shows have come like back, like you're able to do, but for my own personal preference, I'm just basically saving up and like waiting to get back into the ring, get back into ring shape and stuff. So it started to ease up, so we're able to do wrestling practices and stuff. So it's getting better, so hopefully by fall I can get back in the ring.
And I kind of had to approach you via Instagram the other day to say, Amy, what's your current status? Are you still the Battle Arts Women's Champion? And you said no. And I goes, oh, no, that's a real shame. And you said it's because of COVID. But give us a bit of a lowdown. I'm guessing that Battle Arts, the Academy, the wrestling shows haven't performed for a while. That's possibly why they've obviously vacated the championships until they kind of open up again. But just kind of give us a bit of an overview as far as what's going on at the moment with Battle Arts and with your championship, of course.
So basically, I wasn't able to defend it. So Bianca Corelli, Anthony Corelli's daughter, aka Santino Marella, she won the Battle Arts Women's Championship recently. So because I couldn't defend it during, like, I believe we reopened in September, but I wasn't able to go due to COVID reasons and everything. Gotcha. So I basically had to vacate the title due to COVID. So technically I never lost, but deserved it. And she won it, and she's doing great with like the things that she's doing. So kudos to her. And hopefully when I come back into the ring, I can regain it. That's all. Just have to work hard and regain it back.
Absolutely. And like I say, the history books will say that you've never been pinned for that championship. So what's kind of the plan for you then as far as getting back into the ring? I know that you're heavily into your fitness, and we'll talk about that very soon. Are you kind of training? Are you able to knock off any ring rust? When is your kind of proposed return back to the squared circle?
Hopefully my like return, I'm aiming towards possibly September, maybe October, hopefully this year. If not, then possibly 2022. So keep posted on my social medias. Like, you'll probably see me when I get back into the ring. My goal was basically just to train a little bit more before doing any kind of shows, so I can like shake off all any ring rust, because it's going to be there. I haven't wrestled, I think, since March 2020. That was my last match. So yeah, hopefully I can get back in the ring soon and just showcase what I've been missing this whole time for the past year and a half.
Yeah. And I was going to say, you know, you have been keeping yourself fit and healthy. Yeah. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Your last match was last March. So, God, yeah, nearly a year and a half. But what do you miss most about not being able to compete, about not being out there to perform and do what you do best and what you love the most?
Honestly, the fans' reactions. It was just the fans, when, like, even if they booed me or if they cheered me, just like the atmosphere of it, because ever since I was like a kid, I always loved wrestling. That's what actually got me into it since I was a kid. And just the fans, the atmosphere, just the entrances, just even my peers, like, I just miss like getting into the ring. And like, I don't miss the bumps, though. The bumps were brutal. but just like the atmosphere, my coaches, like the people that I wrestled, just like the experience is what I miss. Like, just being able to interact with people and interact with fans, that's what I miss the most about it, to be honest. Yeah. And the wrestling was really fun and the training was really fun. It's just I miss everything about it that made it fun, kind of thing. So hopefully I can jump back in soon.
Yeah, and the Battle Arts Academy definitely seems like a family environment, and I'm sure that with your coaches and your peers there, like, it'd be great to kind of get back there and sort of commence training again, hopefully get some wrestling matches under your belt and regain that title again, Amy. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. but we've alluded to kind of you being a bit of a, dare I say, a fitness freak. And I want to congratulate you on recently achieving your certified personal trainer, aren't you? So we were speaking a little bit off air and you're kind of doing that personal training. But give us a bit of a lowdown as far as what it took to become a personal trainer to start off with. How long were you training to be a personal trainer and what you've been up to since?
Okay, so I basically, like, starting off, like, when I first started wrestling, I wasn't the fitness person kind of person. I was just, like, there kind of thing. I played sports in high school, but I wasn't, like, super, super, super athletic kind of thing. It was just there. I was just in the middle. Yeah. And then when I started at Battle Arts Academy, my coach, I'm going to say this a lot, Anthony Corelli, but it's AKA Santino Marella. Yeah. He basically was telling me that you need to have some type of athletic background to make it into the WWE or to make it in wrestling in general. So I started like working out more and I started enjoying it. And then I started doing judoko on the side, like judo with Anthony as my sensei. And then COVID hit and I enjoyed working out so much. And because I had the free time to basically get that credential, I was like, okay, I love working out and I like encouraging people. So why don't I just do personal training? So I went online and I obtained my personal training. I'm still trying to obtain my nutritionist certification. I'm almost done. And yeah, I did it online with ESA certification and I obtained it in April. And now I work at F45 as a group trainer. So
that's amazing. That's congratulations once again, because that's a great achievement. And obviously doing something about the downtime with everything that's happening at the moment, not being able to compete and doing something else with your spare time, with your life, and adding something else to help you make a living and to add to your CV and to add to your enjoyment of, you know, everything. And like I say, it helps to maintain your fitness as well as others as well. But you mentioned Anthony Corelli there, formerly Santino Marella, one of my all-time favorites, I've got to be honest with you, from the WWE. Such a fantastic character. Give us a bit of a glimpse into what it's like to be at the Battle Arts Academy, because I've done my research, I've looked at their website. It's a stunning website. And before kind of doing my research, I wrongly assumed that it was just for pro wrestling, but you kind of look at the website and you realize that there's so many disciplines, so many sports, so many different combat sports that you can take part in and learn and be trained in. at the Battle Arts Academy. So tell us a bit about the Battle Arts Academy and what you've had the opportunity to learn there and what others could learn if they were to attend.
So if you guys are like traveling to Canada and you guys actually want to be professional wrestlers, like Battle Arts Academy is like an amazing facility. Like when I walked in at first, I was very intimidated, but when you walk in, they're like family oriented. They welcome you and they basically treat you really well. In my time there, still here, like I trained in judo. You can train in jiu-jitsu, you can train in Muay Thai, kickboxing, boxing. They have kettlebells, they have battle fits. It's just a beautiful facility, and just the opportunities with pro wrestling that I got to obtain, where I met Aaron, former WWE superstar Damian Sandow, I met Shad Gaspar, JTG, all these former WWE superstars because of my coach, which I'm very honored to, where I got so much advice from. I even got to train with Toy, the trainer that basically trained Asuka for a bit before he went back to Japan.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and it's also like the wrestling, the pro wrestling is mostly martial arts style, shoot style, kind of catch can Canadian style wrestling, and a little bit of the Japanese strong style. So if you guys are interested in doing any type of martial arts or Japanese strong style or Canadian strong style or catch can wrestling, like Battle Arts is like, it's elite for that kind of stuff in Canada.
It really is. And if you go onto their website, you've got like a full guided tour of the whole facility and lots of videos on there. You've got a full rundown of all the different guests, coaches, and all the different sports and combat sports that you can take part in. It really is a fantastic facility. So you're very, very kind of blessed to have been given the opportunity to train there, I'm sure, especially with Anthony Carilli and all the wonderful guests and kind of good friends of his that have been able to drop by. But you've been a long time fan of pro wrestling, haven't you? And tell us about your journey as a wrestling fan then. Kind of how did you get into pro wrestling as a fan, and how did that then manifest or transition into wanting to start training yourself?
So in my family, like, we've always been wrestling fans, so it's been generations of wrestling fans. So I got introduced to wrestling by my dad and my uncle. At a very young age, I believe I was like 8 years old. So me and my brother were just like watching it as fans. And it just like, it was interesting to me because of the entrances and everything.
Yeah.
So that's where I was intrigued. And then I saw that women were starting to wrestle and I was like, okay, this is good. But at the time they were sexualized. So it was kind of like a little like, I don't know. I love it, but I don't know if I want to do it at first. And then as the years grow by, like, I kept watching. I watched wrestling like religiously. I'm a 98 baby, so I grew up in like around the Ruthless Aggression era, so watched it religiously, never missed a Raw or SmackDown kind of thing. And then high school hit and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, a professional wrestler. And some people thought, oh, it's a phase, she'll grow out of it, especially with my parents, especially with the fact that women were very sexualized at that time. So fast forward, I graduate high school and my parents are like, okay, what do you want to do? And I was thinking, I'm like, maybe I want to go to college, maybe I don't. So I saved up my money and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to wrestling school and I'm going to be a professional wrestler, because that's all I always wanted to do since I was a kid. Like, so I did it. I applied and I basically did my fitness test, and then Anthony said I was good to go, and I started professional wrestling, I believe, 4 years ago. So I believe it was like, I think 2018. So it would be 3 to 4 years ago when I started.
And how did you find the training to start off with? Like I say, you've been a lifelong fan. You mentioned earlier how the bumps are not too pleasant. but how did you find the training? You mentioned also that you were nervous when you stepped through the doors on the first day. But did it take you long before you adapted and got used to it? And I'm guessing that they're quite a family environment and they kind of welcomed you in. But tell us about them kind of first few days, first few weeks of training.
So the first few weeks, I was very sore. Because going into professional wrestling, I just thought, oh, this is going to be easy. I could just get up off my couch, do it, and I won't be sore. No, that's not the case. You have to work out in the beginning, I didn't work out as much as I should have. Like, I should have prepared myself for going. But for some weird reason, I decided to just one day wake up and be like, okay, I'm going to professional wrestling. So the couple weeks were very sore. As you could tell, I'm very fair skin. And the bumps and running the ropes gave me lots of bruises. So that wasn't fun at all. But the experience of getting into the ring and finally like making a dream a reality to me was like, it was amazing. Especially the people around when at Battle Arts, when you're new and you're learning it, they bring you in with open arms and they basically like help you with as much as they can. And they try to like, they basically, the veterans try to help you as much as they can and try to push you hard. So eventually when I started training more and I started working out more, it got easier as time goes.
Yeah.
But overall, the experience of starting out and making your dream a reality was awesome. It was just a dream come true. Like, it's the best thing I've ever done, like, yeah, to achieve a dream kind of thing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And like I say, you stuck at it. You found it hard to start off with, but you stuck at it. A lot of people wouldn't have come back after the first session, but you did. But how long was it before you had your first match? And what can you, any kind of, I'm guessing you might have been a bit nervous before your first match, but any stories to tell about your first or maybe early matches?
So this is a funny one. So when I had my first match, when the time that I began at Battle Arts, there wasn't a lot of girls. So the girls division was basically starting out. We had a girls division, but it was like girls would come in, girls would come out, and they wouldn't stay kind of thing. So when I joined, there was like a good, like there was a, like four girls that were steady, like that would stay. So I was only training for 2 months and Anthony was short a girl for a match. We had a Battle Rising Star show. I believe it was Battle Rising Summer Sizzle kind of thing. It was kind of like our SummerSlam.
I gotcha.
Kind of thing. Yeah. So it was like a summer show. And mind you, I was only training for 2 months at this time. And Anthony comes up to me and he's like, okay, Malton, because I'm from Malton, Ontario, yeah, Canada. And that was his nickname for me all the time. So he goes, okay, Malton, you're going to go and have your first match. You're going to do a practice match in front of a kid's birthday party. And we're going to see if we could put you on the show tonight. And in my head, I was like, at this point, I was only training for 2 months. I haven't even wrestled a full match in practice. I never wrestled like in front of a crowd, nothing. I didn't even have a character at that point. I didn't have a moveset. I didn't have a name. And he's like, okay, do you have a name? And I was like, no, I don't have a name. He's like, how do you want to be a professional wrestler and not have a name? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, that's a good question, but I've only been training for 2 months, so I didn't have time to think of it. I just wanted to train first. And he's like, okay, get in the ring. So he called me Amy something, like some like white, like baby face name kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like the most generic baby face name.
Amy Smith, let's say that.
Yeah.
Not Amy Jones.
So I was like, so I kept Amy. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I go into the match and it's a kid's birthday party. So mind you, I've never wrestled in front of a crowd at that point. So I didn't know how they were going to react to me. So at that point, I was a little heavier on the heavier side because I wasn't working out and I just started. So I was a little gassed, but at the same time, like I went through it. The person that I worked with was really good and he ended up liking it. So he put me in the show.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So that's he good. Ended up liking it. I did good, I guess, to his liking. Good enough for 2 months worth. So I was put in a tag match. I believe it was versus Brooklyn and Natalie and Nessa Love. So I was tagged with Nessa Love. So I was a babyface at that point. So I started off as a babyface. And so flash forward, it's the start of the show and Anthony Corelli's daughter, Bianca Corelli, was doing the announcing. So she comes to me, she's like, oh, Cassandra, you need a name. You don't have a name. And I was thinking, I was like, okay, so he gave me Amy, but I don't like the last name. So she's like, okay, you need a last name. And then my thing was, you need a last name? I thought it was just a one name thing kind of thing, but I was wrong. So she was like, okay, so we need to have like a catchy name. So we're brainstorming. She looks at my lips. I'm wearing like crimson lipstick. And she's like, Amy Crimson. And I was like, okay, that works. So then that's how the name got created. And that's how like my first match went. Obviously, I was nervous. I didn't have any family there. I didn't like know anybody at that point. I was really new. And I basically like went through the match. They helped me through the match, pulled out a Stone Cold Stunner as my comeback. And then I ate the pin because I got knocked out. But overall, it could have done better, obviously. Like, it was my first match and there was things I needed to work on. But overall, the experience was good and it was a confidence booster because I had my first match within 2 months and then I was ready to go. Like, the green light, okay, keep doing matches every month. So it was a good experience.
And did Anthony use you more frequently after that? Was you a regular after that?
Yes. So after that, I was paired up with Brooklyn. So I had a magical heel turn. So no explanation on to why I turned heel, but I turned heel. I guess because there was a girl that left or so. I don't know. But something happened where I just turned heel and he paired me up in a tag team with Brooklyn. And then eventually, like, I was basically like this way different character than I am now. I was basically like the psychotic chick that will pull out my hair, hit stuff, scream and stuff. And eventually, like, I got bored of it because it was Brooklyn's character. It wasn't really mine. And I felt like I wasn't able to grow. So Anthony heard me talking in, like, kind of like a slang, like what we have like in Toronto. Like, if you ever been to Toronto, like, you'll know that there's some type of slang. Like, it's a different kind. It's not a different language, but there's like a different way that we speak kind of thing where it's like we speak in slang.
I understand.
So yeah. Anthony talked, like, he overheard me talking to one of my friends that was in the program. And he's like, "That's your character. Your character is going to be gangster. You're from the streets of Malton." And I was like, okay. And at first I was like, okay, no, there's no way this is gonna work. And then I brought the character to life in a show. I did a promo and everything, and then people started liking me and people started getting invested in me, and then that's how I won the title. And I was like, okay, this is gonna work, and I actually like it, and now I am what I am now. And I've been in the
films and everything. And that's very similar to the character that you kind of had up until March last year. So Amy Crimson character has kind of evolved and developed, but matured as well at the same time. But does your character take any influences from any of your wrestling heroes? I know that you're a huge fan of Eddie Guerrero, aren't you?
Yes, major fan. The only thing is that I never grew up watching him because I started watching wrestling really late. So I believe I started watching wrestling after he passed away, sadly. But I actually became like a really, really big fan when I first started watching, like when I first started wrestling, like actually wrestling.
Yeah.
And I looked back on all his matches and his promo work and just his character work in general was just really interesting to me and like mind blowing that he was so good at what he did. So I just loved his work and everything. And there's some types of things like I'll incorporate like the suplexes and stuff like to incorporate like Eddie Guerrero because he is my inspiration kind of thing. And John Cena, like the basic Thuganomics, was a very big inspiration for me. Like, he was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up, hence the hat. But I basically like watch all his promo work, like especially his basic Thuganomics work. Like, his work on the mic is crazy good. And also Kevin Owens is an also like just his sassy, like his like basically like his sarcasm and his like humor basically is what like made me like, okay, he's really good. So when I'm a heel, like, I'll look at Kevin Owens stuff. I'll look at Jericho stuff. Like, a lot of the major, like, guys from the Ruthless Aggression were my favorite. And I'll also look at, like, Trish Stratus and Lita kind of thing. And Victoria. Like, Victoria was a major, like, inspiration for me as well.
Yeah. And you mentioned some of the moves and the suplexes. Yeah. And certainly I've obviously watched as much footage of you as I can in preparation for this one move in particular, the Northern Light suplex. And that's one of my favorite moves that I remember wrestlers kind of performing back in the 90s when I started watching. But your suplexes are kind of your calling card, aren't they? Northern Light suplex is one of your signature moves. Tell us about how you developed your moveset. You said when you started out, you didn't really have a character, you didn't really have a moveset. You certainly developed it over the years. And tell us kind of about some of your favorite moves, I suppose, and some of your more popular moves.
So I actually haven't, like, so some of the videos that you see on my Instagram, like, I haven't incorporated some of them. Like, so it's basically me, like, seeing, like, whether or not I like it or not kind of thing.
Okay.
So I haven't incorporated the Northern Suplex, but I'm thinking about incorporating it.
Oh, you should.
when I come back. So some of the moves that I really like to do is like the tornado DDT, basically like the Michinoku driver, the sleeper. I don't know if you've seen in some of my videos where I basically jump into a sleeper from basically like running. I like submission based and technical wrestling style. I'm not really high flying.
Right.
But if I could, like, I'll do like a couple cross bodies here and there, just to like give some excitement and stuff. I also like doing like pin variations, like cool styles of pins and stuff. So like basically I'm more like submission and technical base with like Japanese strong style kind of thing. So submissions is more like my go-to, and I try to like incorporate some of my judo moves as well.
Well, I was going to ask about that because you mentioned that Anthony Corelli is your sensei, or was your sensei, yeah. And you've, you know, trained in judo as well as pro wrestling. How much of your judo have you incorporated, or can you incorporate into a pro wrestling routine?
So for judo, it's a little different. It's kind of similar, but a little different at the same time.
I guess you have to be a little bit softer. You can't be so aggressive on the throws.
So I basically have to warn. So I have to basically warn my opponent, like, okay, here, I'm doing some judo kind of thing. So just be prepared to, like, actually, like, protect yourself kind of thing. Because you can get really injured if, like, you don't protect yourself kind of thing. So I try to incorporate, like, a modified version of an arm drag, or basically like a flip from my hip kind of thing. I just try to like make the judo moves more like my character based. So basically like my character is like from the streets and she's a hustler and she doesn't care kind of thing. So the thing is that I'm trying to incorporate judo, because judo can be like a brawling style where I just flip my opponent kind of thing, but in a way that it works with my character, because judo can also be very flashy. And with my character, I'm not that type of flashy, like high flyer kind of thing, or like cool move kind of thing. I'm just basically a brawler who's a technical submission based wrestler who knows how to fight kind of thing, and will fight to like the end kind of thing, and will beat you up if I have to, and I'll take any means necessary. So to basically make it work, that's why I try to figure out what kind of moves work with my character and what I can do to improve it, and what can I do to make it a little flashy, but not too much where it makes me look like who I'm not kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you've had the opportunity to wrestle some, you know, some big names, top female talent around the area. Alison Kay certainly jumps to mind. You've had a couple of matches with her, but tell us about some of your favorite matches or some of your favorite opponents, some you might like to wrestle again in the future.
So one of the match that actually built my confidence so much was, this was pre-COVID, so it was at an all-women's pay-per-view. It was at the Don Koloff Arena in Mississauga, Ontario. It was called Revolution. And I actually main evented in a tag team match where I tagged with Allison Kay versus Rebel and Casey Spinelli.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was actually like my first like major indie booking show, because I basically made like other appearances, but they weren't like main events, or they weren't like huge where big name stars were there. So mind you, at this point, I was only 21 years old. I'm 23 now. So it's been two years around there, a year and a half. And walking in there, they basically treated me so nice. Like, they knew that I was newer to the business. They gave me such great advice. Mind you, being a 21-year-old in front of all these veterans, I literally felt like I was going to shit my pants. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I literally thought, I was so scared. And then basically, they were like, okay, what do you do? And I'm like, for some weird reason, I'm like, I wrestle. For some weird reason, I said, I wrestle. And then they started laughing, because they're like, no, we know you wrestle.
They must have guessed you were nervous.
And they're like, are you nervous? And I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they were really nice. Like, they said that, like, I did really good, like, for the fact that I'm newer to the business and that I haven't been wrestling for that long. So the fact that I got to main event with these great stars, like, from the business is amazing, with especially with the time that I literally have entered the business. Yeah. So it's just a great experience overall. And it just built my confidence, because after that, like my after match that I faced, it was actually my last match, March 2020, I faced Scarlett Delgado, and I was actually the vet going in to that match, and she was basically like a rookie. So the fact that I got to basically wrestle with all these vets and then I became a vet in the match, it's just amazing to me. It just built my confidence even more and made me feel like I could do anything.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the night when you won the championship then. So take us back to that night. Take us back to kind of when you first heard that you were going to be in a championship match, and then tell us about the match and then your kind of feelings and emotion afterwards. You must have had so many emotions, so many mixed emotions and thoughts and feelings going into it, and the same afterwards. But tell us about the whole occasion.
So what happened was, like, around that time, like, I wasn't like huge and I wasn't like one of the main eventers for the women or something. I was just there. I was like wrestling, doing my thing, trying to build my character, trying to like build myself up. And Anthony pulls me aside during a tape review and he's like, "You're gonna want to bring a lot of people on Saturday." And me thinking, me being oblivious, because I didn't think he was going to make me have that opportunity, because obviously I've been working hard and showcasing like that I've been improving. And for the months that I was, I think I was only wrestling for 9 months at that point. So the fact that like I didn't expect it to happen, it kind of just happened when it happened. And he pulls me aside and he's like, "Listen, you're going to like want to bring a lot of people on Saturday." And me being oblivious, I'm like, "Why?" And he's just like, "Oh, you're going to win." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And it was just like a great experience. So I didn't tell my family or nothing that I was winning. So all my family didn't know or nothing. So everyone that was close to me didn't know. Going into that match, like my uncle recently passed away in the April. So it was basically like really hard to like keep training, because like I felt like a little bit part of me was gone, because like he introduced me into wrestling, and then the fact that I won the title, I basically based it on winning it for him. So it was just an emotional moment. So if you look at the YouTube video, like me crying is literally crying because I did it for my uncle, and all the hard work finally paid off kind of thing. So when they tell you when you win a title, you get emotional and you're going to cry, it just happens. Like I tried not to cry because at the moment I was being reversed. So I was heel and I was turning face. So I was basically that hard character that doesn't take shit for nobody kind of thing. And then I had to basically slowly transition from that type of character to the babyface character that you see now. So the fact that I shed tears, basically you could tell that I kind of broke a little bit of character kind of thing, because it was such a special moment at that moment, because all my hard work paid off finally. Like he actually gave me the torch to run with it, and it was so awesome.
Yeah. And this was April 2019. So
this was November.
November 2019, Right. Okay. So you had the championship for about 5 or 6 months before, say, you had your last match in March last year. And then you had the chance to defend your championship, I'm guessing, a few times during that period.
Yeah. So I got to face Bianca Carelli, Divya, and Scarlett Delgado. So within those couple months I got to face for the title and defend
and I want to go back to Anthony Carelli just for a second, because obviously a lot of people know him as Santino Marella from his WWE days, a highly entertaining character. And I think because of his character, a lot of people take for granted how skillful he was in the ring, what such a great performer he was, and how safe, but also how technical he could be in the ring as well. And I don't think he really ever got that opportunity to show what a great wrestler he could be. But like I say, for what he was as a character and as a performer, he was at the top of his game and at the top of his field. What's he like to be around as kind of an ordinary guy? And what's kind of the biggest piece of knowledge or advice that he's imparted on you?
So basically, like, the guy that you see on TV is literally Anthony. Like, he is one of the funniest people like I've ever met in my life. So like for like warm-ups, he'll make us do like his signature like walk and everything, like around the thing. And just the atmosphere is funny. Like there's always jokes, you're always joking around, and it's just a great atmosphere. Like he's an awesome coach. one of the things that he's always told me is that what I'm going to do is going to be like paradise kind of thing. So, but what you're doing is all the hard work and all the sacrifices that you're doing now, it's all going to pay off, because when you start wrestling for the WWE or say New Japan or Ring of Honor, you're getting paid to literally live out your dream, get paid to like travel the world. You get paid to even work out kind of thing. So he always told me to make sure that I always like, there's going to be sacrifices, yes, but it's going to pay off in the end. Because as long as you work hard, you're always going to obtain something. You're going to be successful somehow. So he always pushed me, even because he's my sensei and my wrestling coach. He pushed me through judo because he sees the best in me. And he also pushed me in wrestling. So if he's seen me slacking a little bit, he'd be like, okay, come on, pick it up kind of thing. He's like tough love. But at the end, like, I know he wants to see me succeed. So he's very like hard and like basically like, do this, do that. I know you could do it. And especially if he knows that you can put 100%, he's going to expect you to do 110%. So overall, he's a great coach and I learned so much from him. Yeah. Hopefully and I can learn more once COVID.
It sounds like he's been a mentor to you. And I'm sure when you do start training again at Battle Arts Academy, that you'll be able to reconnect and continue where you left off. But you mentioned earlier on that you're hoping to get back in the square circle around full time, so around autumn. What sort of goals or desires do you have as a pro wrestler for the future? Say, what does the next couple of years have in store for you? I'm guessing that you'd want to maybe branch out, maybe across Canada, maybe and go, you know, south of the border to the US or maybe further afield, maybe over here in the UK. But what are your goals and what are your desires as a pro wrestler?
So before pre-COVID, I had like a 5-year kind of step goal, like plan thing. So I was hoping to like basically obtain like a championship outside of Battle Arts. So I did have an opportunity to like wrestle. I was supposed to wrestle Alexia Nicole for the crossbody women's championship, but it got canceled due to COVID. And one of the goals that I was supposed to have is like to basically wrestle throughout Ontario, get my name more known, like as like an indie star kind of thing. And then hopefully get a WWE tryout, wrestle in America, possibly Germany, Japan, the UK, just around the world kind of thing, Mexico. Basically make my name known around the world. Basically the goal is to make my name house known, so like it's a well-known name. So if you see Amy Crimson, oh, I know her, she's a professional wrestler, like that's the goal. And basically the goal is to get paid to wrestle, like even if it's like for Ring of Honor, AEW, New Japan, OVW, like all these, even WWE, but WWE is the main goal, and basically just to wrestle at WrestleMania. And hopefully at Madison Square Garden, that's the goal.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Now that you've put it out there in the universe, Amy, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. You've put it out there. So, like I say, you've got kind of the right start in life with wrestling, being around Anthony. He sounds like he's a really caring personality and mentor that's going to help guide you in all the right directions. And it sounds like you've got your own dreams, your own desires, and you've already had a great start in the business also. But before we let you go, I know that you've got a very big fan base, especially on Instagram. They absolutely love you on Instagram. You've got some very loyal fans and followers out there. Have you got a message for your fans, or even for, you know, people that may not have seen too much of you maybe over here in the UK? Any words from Amy Crimson to your fans?
Just keep in touch, where like if you guys ever want to message me, say if you guys want to wrestle and need advice, like you can always message me. I'm always open. I always respond fast. And also, like, if you guys are wanting to become a professional wrestler, do it. It was one of the best things I've ever done. And I think like if you guys want to achieve a goal and you want to make a dream a reality, I would say just go for it and just run with it kind of thing. And for the UK fans, watch out, because hopefully one day I can wrestle and start making a scene in the UK scene.
It's got to happen. I think you'd be very popular over here, most definitely. And of course, we've got Giselle Shaw, who's from Canada, who's doing some great things over here in the UK.
I actually got to train with her when I was first starting. I actually had like a training match with her, so she's awesome. Yeah.
And my very first show back as a fan on Sunday, I'll be seeing Giselle in the main event, as a matter of fact. So I can't wait to see her. If I see her, I'll say hi from you because. Awesome. I'm actually the sponsor of the show, so we'll have a bit of backstage access, so I'll probably get to say hi anyway. Amy, before we let you go, here's an opportunity for you to throw out any social plugs that you've got. So I know we can find you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, but for anybody that wants to reach out to you, say hi and learn more about Amy Crimson, where can they do that?
So you can find me on Instagram, which is Amy Crimson XOXO, Twitter Amy Crimson XOXO. I also have TikTok, where you can see more of my goofy side and basic, like more like me, Amy Crimson XOXO. And then I also have Facebook, which is like, I don't know if anyone uses Facebook, but if you do and you're feeling a little interesting, you can check out my Facebook page, which is Amy Crimson, or you can check out my regular page, which is Cassandra Alicia Jenner. I also have a YouTube. So if you guys want to check out my YouTube channel, you could just click in Amy Crimson Wrestling, and majority of my matches and all the other podcasts that I've been on will pop up. So yeah, very basic.
and do you have any merchandise, or is merchandise in the works?
Merchandise is in the works. Basically, the logo that you see over here is basically going to be on like possibly t-shirts, sweaters, and some hats on here, or bandanas. I'm deciding whether or not. But hopefully when I go back in the ring, I'm going to start selling 8x10s and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I've got to say, the logo is very cool, by the way. I don't know if you designed it, but if you did, well done. But it's a fantastic logo.
A guy who's on the Ontario indie scene, his name's Kyle Brooks. He designed it for me. And he's awesome. So if you guys are watching and you need logos done, you should hit him up on his Instagram. I believe it's Kyle Brooks. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. But Amy Crimson, it's been amazing speaking to you over the last 40 minutes. Best of luck for all the future. Best of luck with your personal training. And of course, when you get back in the ring later on this year. But thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.